I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. It has been recorded in the book of Jude, the first chapter, and I shall begin reading with the 16th verse. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, we stood with Joseph in Egypt. God had turned the heat up in his life, and he was having to sweat it out. You remember that? The envy and the jealousy of his brothers, the dark, satanic deed that sold him to the slave traders, the years he had spent in the Egyptian prison because he had been falsely accused and condemned. But then in the providence of God, he had been released from prison, and through a series of circumstances, he had become the prime minister of Egypt. And then one day, standing before him, were his brothers. The same men who had dealt so treacherously with him at first and sold him to the slave traders. There they stood. They didn't recognize him. A humble delegation seeking aid for famine-stricken Israel. And as Joseph stood before his brothers, there must have flashed through his mind everything that had taken place in his life during these past few years. But then as he revealed himself to his brothers, he was able to say, "Do not be angry or distressed with yourself that you sent me here, because God sent me before you to preserve life. So it is not you who sent me here, but God." Well, this is the question. How could Joseph say that? What kept Joseph from becoming bitter? What kept Joseph from blowing out the light of faith? What kept him from being sour and rebellious and cynical at all that had transpired in his life in these past few years? Well, Frederick Atkins has written a book titled Standing Up to Life. And in that book, he shares the secret of the kind of faith that makes it possible for us to stand up to life like this. To meet it, to conquer it, and to live it. You know, all of us need a faith like that. A faith that will sustain us. A faith that will give us power. A faith that will equip us. A faith that will teach us to be strong in the Lord and to be strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning I want to share with you three dimensions of our lives that helps that kind of faith become reality for us, and in so doing gives us the grace and the ability to stand up to life. Such a faith as that helps us to stand up to life because it gives us something to stand on. It gives us something to stand on by providing a way of looking at life that puts meaning into things. One night the psalmist stepped out of his tent. He looked up into the sky, and what he said we have never forgotten. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? Well, what is man? Perhaps you remember the story of the chemist who in 1926 decided that he would analyze the human body. This is what he found about an average man, 5 feet 10 inches tall, weighing 160 pounds. He found enough fat to make 7 bars of soap, enough iron to make a medium nail, enough sugar to fill a shaker, enough lime to whitewash a small chicken coop, enough phosphorus to make 2,200 matches, enough magnesium for a dose of magnesia, enough potash to explode a toy cannon, and a little sulfur. All of that in his day was valued at 98 cents. Well, let me ask you, is that what you are? I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't want somebody telling me I'm a chemical compound. So I go back to the Lord and say, Lord, what about it? Am I just a chemical compound? And he answers, you're dust, all right, but that's not all. Now, I have made you in my image. You can be filled with my Holy Spirit. I have put you in the world to accomplish my purpose and to do my will. You are my son, a joint heir with Jesus Christ of everything that is mine. I want to tell you, that makes a difference. When you and I can believe that we are sons and daughters of God, when we can believe that He has created us in His image and that He has a purpose for us, it makes a difference with the way that we look at our life. Plant your feet on that truth and do not let anyone degrade you. You are special in God's sight. But it also is a faith that helps us to stand in the face of our world. You see, a part of our security is tied into the interpretation we put on things that are around us. And during these past few years, we have been receiving some rather mixed signals about our world. And we've been encouraged and delighted when we have heard of one communist country after another turning away from communism and people renouncing communism and embracing the Christian faith that we have held so dear for so long. At this very moment, there are representatives from Central Presbyterian Church who are in Russia sharing with a sister church the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And we are encouraged and thrilled about that. But at the same time, we are sick at heart and we are disturbed when we read about things like Serbia or South Africa or Lebanon or Iraq. But you see, our faith gives us the ability to stand in the midst of the uncertainty and the upheavals in our world. Perhaps you've heard the story about the man from New York who boarded that double-decker bus. He was pretty well in his cup and his tongue was loose at both ends. He took a seat next to the driver and started talking incessantly. After a bit, the driver had all he could take and suggested that he go to the upper deck. He said, man, the fresh air and the view is wonderful. Well, the fellow went up. He stayed for a few minutes and he came back, took his seat, and resumed the conversation. What's the matter? Asked the driver. Didn't you like it up there? No, he said. It's not safe. They don't have any driver up there. Well, see, our Christian faith tells us there is a driver up there. He is the Lord. He is sovereign in His universe, and history is His story. And when we know that history is the unfolding purpose of God, and it's going to work out, He has given us a faith by which we can stand. I had fainted, said the psalmist, unless I had believed. Such a faith helps us to stand up to life because it gives us something to stand for. Look at this picture. It is presented in a letter to the editor of a magazine by a teenage girl. Dear sir, I drink, I gamble, I go out with men. My parents don't know, or they don't seem to know. What, are they blind? I'm not out with a tough crowd, just the boys and girls from the best families that I grew up with. If I keep doing this, what will happen to me? Please say something to quieten my mind. Here was a girl who had nothing to stand for. And unless she found something she would not stand, she would, as she said, surely go mad. You see, it makes a difference if we have something to stand for. A code, or an ideal, or a person. The people who have no code, and they have no ideals, and they are the victims of the current confusion about what is right and wrong in our world, they will not be able to stand the way we know life today. But when we know Jesus Christ, when we have committed our lives to Him, and when we are living all out for Him, we will stand because we can stand for Him. It was the psalmist who said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." During the Second World War, a minister from North Carolina was leading a religious emphasis week at Mary Baldwin College in Virginia. Inevitably, the conversation turned to the war. And one of the students asked a question, "Do you think this war is worth the cost?" And then she went on to talk about the cost and the waste in materials and in money and in men. The minister sensed that her question was something more than academic. That somewhere in the army there was a soldier who was all the world to her. Suppose something had happened to him. Well, it happened that this minister had a letter that a fellow minister who was the pastor of a church by a naval base had shared with him recently. He read it to the students at Mary Baldwin College. This is what it said. "Sir, I'm a sailor. I'm pulling out in a few hours, and I came to your place this morning, lonely as I could be and scared to death. I wanted to talk to somebody pretty bad. There was this girl there, and she said hello. She invited me to sit down, and we got to talking about the future. And I said perhaps there wouldn't be any future for me. You know, if a person could just be sure that something would come through worth dying for, it wouldn't be so bad." And she said the strangest thing. She smiled and said, "That's easy. Jesus is coming through, and He's worth dying for." I looked at her, and she kept on talking like He was alive and a good friend of hers. I was only there a little while, and I don't know, but her talking like that did something for me. I'm not lonely anymore. I'm not scared. You see, in our Christian faith, we have Jesus to stand for. He's won the victory, and we can share in that victory. Such a faith helps us to stand up to life because it gives us someone to stand by us. It's well enough to have something to stand on, the firm foundation on which to plant your feet. It's well enough to have something to stand for, the truth that cannot be shaken. But in standing up to life, it's more important than anything else to have someone who will stand by us, to take us by the hand, to encourage us and to affirm us and to walk with us. When our morale cracks because we've lost faith in ourselves, when temptations come bearing down on us that we believe that we cannot resist, when the burdens of life are so heavy that we cannot go on, when the problems of life are so deep we can find no solution, we need someone to reach out a steady hand and to say an encouraging word. That's who Jesus is. Billy Hicks was a petty officer in the British Navy a century ago. He'd been promoted to the captain of the foretop. It was a dangerous position, and he knew it. The two men who had preceded him had fallen to their death. The night before he was to assume his new duties, he was seen in working on the electronical signaling apparatus as though sending an urgent message. The next day when his orders came, he went to the top like a cat and he came down safely. And after that he seemed changed somehow, but no one knew why. Well, the reason came out a few days later. An officer from a nearby ship was a guest on board, and he asked if there was a man named Billy Hicks on the ship. And when told that there was, this is the story he told. A few nights ago, I saw a signal being sent, and I took down the message. And this is what it said. God, this is Billy Hicks a-talking. I ain't afraid of no blooming man nor devil, and I ain't afraid of no Davy Jones neither. I ain't like a bawling baby fussing at its daddy for sweets. I don't ask but one favor, and it is this. When I strike the foretop tomorrow, let it be with the courage of a man what's clean. And God, if it's all the same to you, give me the faith I used to have when I knelt at my mother's knees and prayed. Good night, God. All of us needs a way of looking at life that gives us something to stand on. All of us need a way of looking at life that gives us something to stand for. All of us need a way of looking at life to give someone to stand with us. You add it all up, and what we need is Jesus. Listen to his promise. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But let me tell you the truth. The only people who will have Jesus standing by them in the heat of life are his children. If you do not know him as your personal Savior and Lord, you will never experience his presence in your life, and you will be all alone. But if you do know him, he's here right now to take you by the hand, to steady you, to affirm you, and to walk with you. If you do not know him, you are not beyond hope. You can meet him right now. All you have to do is open your heart, acknowledge that he is the Son of God, accept him as your personal Savior, and invite him to come into your heart. And you have his guarantee he will do it, and you will be his. All you need, you have in Jesus. And in him we will be strong in the Lord, and we will be able to stand up to life. Do you know him? If you do, reach out your hand. Permit him to take yours and walk with you. If you do not, meet him before you leave here today.